the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McKay on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right. Welcome in, Chasing Checkers. Here on ESPN 102.5, The Game, on the Game Nashville app, the pod center of thegamenashville.com. We're on iTunes as well. Rate, subscribe, and review. Just search for Chasing Checkers there on the App Store and where you find your podcasts. Chase McCabe here with you. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend. We got a big show for you this week. Obviously, we have a lot to discuss with Dover. They're racing at Kansas Saturday night. We're going to be joined by Regan Smith from Fox Sports. He will talk about all things going on last weekend, this weekend. We'll hit a lot of different topics with him. And Ryan Newman of Roush Racing will join the show as well. So without further ado, let's jump into it. Dover, Martin Truex Jr., look, there's one thing you've learned about this show. If you come on as a guest, there's a good chance you might win. Martin Truex Jr. did it. It took an extra day. They had to run the race on Monday, but he was able to get it done, and you know, the best car won that race. Now I'll give a lot of props to Alex Bowman. 2 weeks in a row coming home second. They're starting to find something with that 88 team. I mean, Hendrick Motorsports overall, I think, is starting to find something, but that 88 team is looking really good right now. I think Alex Bowman is very close to getting his first career Cup Series win. So Truex gets the win, then Bowman. Kyle Larson comes home third. Kevin Harvick, another top five for him. Chase Elliott in fifth. Eric Jones, another solid run by him. Joey Logano, seventh. William Byron with a top 10 in eighth. Clint Bowyer, ninth. And Kyle Busch rounds out the top 10, and he continues his top 10 streak. If he finishes in the top 10 this week, he will break the record for starting the season with the most consecutive top 10s. So congratulations to him. And that's actually where I will start, is with Kyle Busch, because he was critical, even though he finished 10th, he was critical of the rules package. And that's something we've discussed all year long, of what do we think about the rules package. And we're starting to see mixed reviews that some drivers don't like it, even though he has 3 wins on the year in this package. You know, I know Kevin Harvick's been critical of it. He hasn't found victory lane yet. It seems like you're just seeing up and down with this rules package, and NASCAR continues to tweak it and work with things to try and make it better for the fans and better for the drivers. But Kyle Busch, after the race, his 11th straight top 10, he told Davey Siegel, who is at NASCAR Home Tracks. So he told him, quote, "The package sucks. No blanking question about it. It's terrible. All I can do is blank about it, and it'll fall on deaf ears, and we'll come back with the same thing in the fall," end quote. He goes on to say, quote again, "I thought we were off as a program, but obviously the number 19 won the race, so that's not the case. It'd be nice to win more, run better, lead laps. This was a real bad weekend for us," end quote. Now, this is what I'll say, and I think everybody is thinking the same thing. I love that Kyle Busch speaks his mind. However, you finish in the top 10, you have 3 wins on the year. I understand you're ticked off. It was a rough day. You still got a top 10. This is a little bit of Kyle Busch being Kyle Busch, but I also think he has a legitimate gripe, because I feel like that a lot of these drivers will say the right things. You have some guys that'll say the right things, then you have guys like Kyle and Kevin Harvick that'll say, "Hey, you know, this isn't working for us. We need to change some things." I don't think NASCAR is really, they're not going to go away from it. Now, they might when they go to the Gen 7, but I mean, they're pot committed right now. And something that we have all talked about on this show, Darrell Waltrip said it a few weeks ago, you're going to do something, you need to stick with it and work on it until you decide, A, it's going to work, or B, okay, let's try something else. But this changing things all the time, it's okay to tweak it, which is what they've been doing. But doing constant changes and being inconsistent, that's what drives people crazy. So I think that for NASCAR to stick with this, I'm okay with it. I understand the frustration of the drivers, but I also have to look at it as you have 3 wins, you have a top 10 streak. your season is not going terribly. Come on, Kyle. But I would be curious to see after this weekend, because Kansas was the weekend that everybody was kind of looking at. Okay, this is going to be when we really decide, do we like this? Is it working? One guy that I think likes it, and you know, we asked him about it last week on the show. If you missed that episode, just go to thegamenashville.com and you can hear past episodes. But Martin Truex Jr. gets the win at Dover, a special place for him because he got his first career win there. Ironically, it was on a Monday. This is the next time that they've raced on a Monday. He wins it again and thanked the crowd when he did the interview with Fox.
Yeah, we came here with a new setup this time because we had kind of an older setup that we won with in 2016. We'd been good, but not good enough. And just hats off to Cole and James and all those guys. Everybody at TRD back in California, Costa Mesa, for some awesome engines, awesome horsepower. And thanks to all these fans that come out today on a Monday, man. This is awesome.
Look at all these fans over here along the fence. Hey, they say this is a tough place to pass, man. You started at the back and you won by over 9 seconds. You made it look easy.
I promise it wasn't easy. It was a lot of work. It was tough, but this race car, man, it was just incredible. So just thanks to everybody that makes this all possible, honestly. And what a relief. I can't believe it. I mean, without Talladega, we'd have two in a row. So pretty special. New group of guys this year. Coach has put together a good bunch, and Cole and everybody. And I'm really, really proud to drive these Toyotas. They're awesome, and I'm a very lucky guy.
Martin Truex Jr. is doing what he always does. You know, he might not start the season off with a lot, but then he puts a couple wins together, and that's when he really gets into the mix, running for a championship. You can tell that crew is starting to come together over at Joe Gibbs Racing. They're starting to get used to things, and things are just making more sense to them. And now I think you're going to have to watch out for Martin Truex Jr. Joe Gibbs Racing on the year now has 7 wins, 3 for Kyle Busch, and then 2 each for Truex and Denny Hamlin. And I think Eric Jones is getting close. And with Christopher Bell doing what he's doing in the Xfinity Series, Eric Jones is going to have to get closer. That's all I'm saying. But top 10 for him. But Martin Truex Jr. with the win. As I mentioned earlier, Alex Bowman comes home second. Another great run for him. And he told Fox Sports, man, they needed it.
I'm worn out. This is the physically hardest race of the year for me, for sure. I think we're in Martin's way. I wish I was in his way at the end of the race, but we at least had a shot at it. It's really all you can ask for. Congrats to them. Our Nationwide Blue Vine, small business, pitchtowinbig.com. Chevy was really good. Cool deal they got going on. A small business owner can enter to win $100,000. So that's a pretty neat promotion for them. But so proud of Greg Ives and everybody on this 88 team. We had a miserable start to the season, and we did a really good job resetting over the off week. And we've come out strong since then.
Back-to-back, not only top five finishes, but back-to-back second place finishes, almost scored 2 wins in a row. What does that do for the confidence department, not only for you, but for the entire team around the 88?
It'd be better if we had a trophy, right? But, we needed this for sure. So Talladega is a speedway. It's a lot of luck involved. But to come here to, in my opinion, the hardest racetrack we go to and run like that from the back of all things was pretty special. And just proud of everybody at Hendrick Motorsports for all of the improvement we've made over the last year or so. And we're going to keep it going.
Alex Bowman with Matt Yocum of Fox Sports. And as I said, he's going to win a race. He's close. And a lot of people had questions when Dale Jr. essentially handpicked him to take over the car. He did a fine job filling in for Dale Jr. when he was out with injury. But then to take over when Dale Jr. retired, people were kind of going, okay. It's starting to come together. He's getting more comfortable. He's getting confidence. And that's what a lot of this is. He needed some confidence, and it's starting to show. And you got to tip your cap to Alex Bowman and what they've been able to do this year, especially in the last few weeks with back-to-back second-place finishes. The man that came home third was a guy that also needed a good run for his confidence, and that's Kyle Larson.
It was solid. I thought we ran inside the top five all race long and fought tight early on with our Credit One Bank Chevy, but freed it up and got to where I felt like I was pretty good. And then the last run there, after cycling through green flag stops, I was really loose and got stuck in traffic and then was just looser in dirty air. So just made my tires pissed off and had to just make sure I hit the bottom, lap after lap to hold Harvick off. So, it was good to finally have a clean race. I don't think we've had a clean weekend all year long, and we're, 11 or 12 weeks into the season. So it's good to finally get a clean day, like I said. And, thanks to our race team. Our pit crew did a good job today as well. So nice day.
Kyle Larson comes home third after a good run. And that's a guy that so many people last year, it's like, okay, he's the fourth. He's in the big four. He's going to be contending for a championship. He didn't win a race this year. It's like, all right, bounce back year. They've struggled at times. That's a guy that needs a win. Kyle Larson needs a win bad. This is a good start, finishing third. They ran consistently, but he needs a win. I just think for his confidence and then, that team's confidence. Chip Ganassi Racing, I think they're right now that team that's just right there, but they can't break through. Kurt Busch in his first year, he's had some good runs. He's been close, but they haven't found victory lane as of yet, and I just think they need it. They need to find that, because right now Kyle Larson's in a position where he's going to be running next week in the Open and not in the All-Star race, going to have to race his way in. That's not a position they want to be in. So maybe Kansas is where he can get it done, but Kyle Larson finishes in the top three. As I mentioned with Truex, he got his first win at Dover, and I asked him about that last week here on the show, that was his first career win and just a special place. And he commented in his post-race press conference about how special Dover is.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I think it definitely is, because this track is a big part of the reason I got to where I'm at. Without tracks like this in Loudoun, Watkins Glen, I would never been noticed. I would have never had the opportunity to put myself in position, in the spotlight with some of the higher up drivers back in the day. So, yeah, for sure. It's definitely special. I've been coming here a long time. I ran the Busch North Series here, ran the Busch Series here. The Busch North Series especially is really the reason, that I got where I'm at. And racing on tracks like this in those cars is what prepared me to move up to the next level. So that's what makes it special for me. It's just remembering where I came from. It's a reminder of that, honestly. And, for that reason, it makes it really special to win at tracks like this.
Coming off the championship a couple of years ago, what he did last year in the final year at Furniture Row and being oh so close to another championship, and now with the momentum on his side at Joe Gibbs Racing, Martin Truex Jr. is a special, special story. Because losing his ride at Michael Waltrip with everything that went down there, you never know, you didn't know what was going to happen. And now, looking at this, just fun to watch. And to go to the place where he got his first win, now his third win at Dover, just really cool for Martin Truex Jr. We'll get more insight on Truex and some of the other drivers, Alex Bowman as well, when we talk to Regan Smith from Fox Sports. He joins us next. It's Chasing Checkers on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in to Chasing Checkers, 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. And as promised, joined by Regan Smith. Of course, you can see him on the TV on Fox NASCAR. Regan's in Kansas this weekend. What's going on, my man?
Well, lovely Kansas this weekend. It feels like the fall race, not the spring race. It's really cold out here this weekend so far, but looking forward to these cars on the track and seeing who's gonna be the guy to beat on Saturday night.
Yeah, and that's going to be funny. You mentioned the weather, because I think that's something you always have to look at. With what have you noticed with this rules package and how colder air, how that affects it? Does it have any effect at all?
No, it shouldn't really matter this weekend at all. With it being a night race, I think that obviously it's always cooler at nighttime anyways. The main thing is the sun and how much sun we're actually getting on the racetrack. But essentially with the lower horsepower and the drag that is built into these cars that creates that big hole that we talk about in the air around the cars, we haven't seen cold temperatures do anything to the cars other than maybe allow the guys to run a little bit more tape on the cars on the nose of them or something like that, which is the same case as with the old rules package as well.
Now, the last time I talked to you, it was, I guess, around the All-Star race. They had, last year, they had, you know, tried this out. And then I think we talked around Pocono is what it was. And you were a fan and you wanted to see more of it. What are your, what do you think about it so far, 11 races into the season?
Well, I still like it. I think there's some areas that possibly we can work on it and change some things up a little bit. I would say the short tracks and places like Dover possibly being areas that we need to look and see what we can do to help the drivers maybe be able to get closer to each other on the racetrack. But with that said, we've had that problem, you know, at those tracks for quite some time now. And ultimately, the air still is the king, and everybody's going to find a way to make their car get through the air better. When we look at the mile and a half racetracks, the bigger tracks, the 2 mile tracks, I feel like we've seen some very good racing. And in particular, when we look at Talladega, mm-hmm. with the set of rules that we just ran there, I think we've seen some exciting races. Can't deny that the races have been closer. The field has been closer together. Premiums put on pit road and on the pit crew guys. And I like that. I like having to, you know, maybe build more of the team aspect of it, because the team does become more important. A mistake on pit road cost you more now than ever. So I think so far so good with the set of rules, and like anything, we can always do some tweaking and adjusting, and I'm sure down the road that'll happen, but I would say that the grade is an A right now for sure, and anytime that you can make the widespread changes that we did make during an off season and have it somewhat working, that's a good sign.
Regan Smith of Fox NASCAR here with us on Chasing Checkers. And, you know, I listened to some of the drivers, and I think, like, Kevin Harvick has had some frustrations. We know Kyle Busch had some comments last week after finishing 10th at Dover. And I get that. Like, I get...
Wait, Kyle did? What did he say?
I know. Yeah, Kyle was not happy about it, saying that, you know, it was going to fall on deaf ears and he could keep complaining, and that wasn't the exact word that he used. But, you know, he was frustrated because it was a tough day for him. He did finish in the top 10, but I expect that from some drivers to be frustrated at times just after a bad day. But overall, I feel like everyone is feeling good, and NASCAR is listening and they're tweaking as they go, but they're not making wholesale changes.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, when you look at a race car driver, right, the instinct of a race car driver is to be mad after a bad day. And I think that's where a lot of Kyle's comments stem from last week. And, it's not going to be for everybody. There's been certain things that the drivers have said they don't necessarily like about these rules. But at the same time, it's the hand that they're dealt. They're going to have to race these rules the rest of this year. Nothing's going to change. And possibly for all of next year, we don't know. NASCAR might decide to not change anything at all and carry down the path with these, no matter what the drivers say. So, You gotta play the hand that you're dealt. And some guys are more vocal than other guys. We get that. And you know what? I don't mind that. I think you have to allow these guys to have personality. We've lacked personality for so long that if somebody gets out of the car and they're frustrated and they want to blame it on that, then that's their prerogative to do that. They're allowed to have that moment and to say the things that they want to say. And who are we to judge that, basically?
Yeah, I love that. I love personality. And, you know, being a fan of the sport, hearing Kyle Busch, you know, there are times, and I open the show by saying this, sometimes it's Kyle being Kyle. He's frustrated. He wants to win every week. But he's got 3 wins on the season, and he's about to, you know, possibly break a top 10 streak. So I think that if Kyle Busch looks at the grand scheme of things, he should be pretty happy with the season so far.
Yeah, well, and I would say at Dover, the biggest frustration for him at Dover was the simple fact that his teammate was so fast. And you know, that's for somebody like Kyle Busch, who's accustomed to being up in the lead anyways, to see a teammate that was able to pass cars a little bit more easily than he was and get his car from the back to the front, I'm sure that weighed on his mind just a little bit in terms of how frustrated he was after that race. And listen, I've talked to a lot of the drivers. They all said it was tough to pass at Dover, but you know what? The past 6 races at Dover, it's been difficult to pass. It's not something new. I think it was more extreme this time than before, and that's why I say we'll have to look at the short tracks, maybe or what we call the short tracks and the mile and under tracks, and maybe there's another formula that can be looked at for that. But that's something that can happen during the off season. It's not going to happen during the racing season, and guys are going to have to deal with what they've got right now currently for this season.
Regan, we saw to start the season, obviously Joe Gibbs Racing wins the Daytona 500 with Denny Hamlin, but they have 7 wins on the season so far among 3 drivers. We know Team Penske has had success in the early races of this package, but over the last few weeks, here comes Hendrick Motorsports and the Chevys. What have you seen out of them that they're doing differently that now is leading to some success?
Well, I think the natural thing would be they've obviously changed some of their car builds and how they're building for this set of rules. And, you know, we had to get the cars on the racetrack to fully understand, for some companies, I think, to fully understand where they thought they wanted to be. And we saw that even on the West Coast swing. There was a shift after they went to Texas. A lot of companies came with something different to Texas. Hendrick had picked up a lot of speed there, and they've continued to progress with that speed. So they're getting their arms wrapped around what this set of rules needs. I think we all anticipated them coming out of the box a little bit stronger than what they did. But with that said, if you don't have the speed that you want right away, how you adjust and how you make changes throughout the course of the year is what's going to be critical, and they've done a nice job so far. This weekend at Kansas is going to be probably the biggest tell for them as to where they're at, just because it's not Dover. You don't have the banking to help mask any deficiencies in your race car. It's a very aero-dependent racetrack, and how you find the speed at this track is likely going to translate to the races when we get into the playoffs. It's the last time that we run a playoff track this year until they start. So I think that's going to be key also for all these teams, not just Hendrick, to be able to go out there and kind of know what to expect when they get back here in the fall race.
Regan, you've obviously spent some time in that organization with Junior Motorsports and running for them. To see Chase Elliott now, he broke through last year, won 3 races. He's already got a win under his belt this year. Is this just something that everybody had to be patient, including Chase himself, about, but everybody knew it was probably coming?
Well, I don't think you can ever take for granted how tough the Cup Series is, and you never know if it's going to happen or not. We all anticipated it would happen for Chase, and certainly he showed the speed, you know, before getting the first win, and now all the wins that have come since then. But this is a very difficult series, and it really, you know, a lot of it is dependent upon where each company is in terms of technology and how their race cars are. These drivers are all good. There's a lot of drivers that are good enough to win. But with that being said, I would have to say yes, Chase. You know, even back to the Xfinity days, and take it further back to the truck days. Even it was pretty clear that he had the talent to win at the Cup level. Now the biggest thing is going to be, okay, can he be dominant at the Cup level? Can he go out and have those 7, 8, 9 win seasons like we've seen so many guys have prior? And I think that's going to be the next thing for him, is if he's capable of doing that. And that book still has to be written. We won't know that here, and we might not even know it next year or the following year.
We've also seen over the last couple of weeks his teammate Alex Bowman come home second in that 88, and I can only imagine what kind of pressure was on him when he was announced as the replacement for Dale Earnhardt Jr. and to take over that 88. But we've seen things start to come together. It seems like he's much more comfortable. He has confidence now, and to me, I think he's knocking on the door of victory lane. What do you think?
Well, after last week, I certainly would have a hard time disagreeing with you. I think at Talladega, you know, you take that for what it is. A lot of times we can see guys that maybe haven't had the best of years have good runs there. When he went to Dover and backed it up with a strong performance there, that to me was the best race he's run in his Cup career. And this is even taken in consideration that when he filled in for Junior at Phoenix a couple years ago, he very nearly won that race. Dover was more impressive to me because of how he did it, because of where the Hendrick race cars are right now. We don't look at those cars yet as dominant race cars. They're finding the speed, but they just aren't what they've had perhaps in years past. So he did a very nice job. Again, much like for that organization, I think the same thing holds true for Alex. This weekend is going to be a big weekend for them. If they can go out and have speed here, then I would have to agree with you that yes, he could be very likely our next first time winner. Again, this is a far different racetrack than Dover, and there's a lot of things here that matter differently than Dover in terms of how they set the cars up and what they need the cars to do from an aero standpoint. But certainly a good run for him. That momentum never hurts anything.
No, absolutely not. Talking with Regan Smith from Fox NASCAR, and also still does some driving as well. Qualifying was a point of contention. Couldn't figure out what – you know, what worked, and they finally decide to go back to the single car qualifying, you know, similar to what we're used to. Was this the right move? Was this just the best way to solve this issue?
Well, I think it was the best way to solve the issue. You know, everybody has different opinions about what they do or don't like. I personally can tell you when we got to Dover, I thought I was going to absolutely hate the single car qualifying. And by the time it was all said and done, I actually was a big fan of it. And it really just, to me, was a better show for their fans. We know that the fastest car is going to be the first place car now with the rules, or with the qualifying rules set the way that they are. So I went from being kind of a little bit, you know, bummed out that we weren't doing group qualifying anymore and that we had to resort back to single car qualifying, to all of a sudden, in the matter of 1 week, liking it. And, you know, I don't know other people's opinions necessarily of it, but something had to be done. We couldn't continue down the path that we were of guys sitting on pit road and waiting to get a draft off another car, or just having to take everything and make it, you know, make it a chance situation. I think that what we're going to see now is probably the purest way to do the qualifying. And obviously it's the purest way because the fastest car is going to start first.
Regan, you obviously have the opportunity to work with some great people at Fox Sports. Darrell Waltrip announced, I guess, a month or so ago that he would be stepping out of the booth when the schedule was done with Fox this year and calling it a career. I had him on the show to talk about it as well. But just in your short time of working with old DW, what's been your takeaway?
Well, DW is a huge part of not only NASCAR, right, but of Fox Sports and what's been brought to the fans for almost 20 years now, basically. And, you know, I didn't know DW that well until I came to work here, and I've gotten to know him better and gotten to understand, you know, what TV's like. And I personally probably did not have enough appreciation for how good he is at what he does on TV. He just brings so much to a broadcast, and, you know, it doesn't matter if it's got to be serious or lighthearted, he can do it all. And, certainly, you know, push his racing career aside for a second, he's a Hall of Famer just on the broadcasting side of things in my eyes. And, you know, obviously he's a Hall of Famer on the racing side as well. And he's going to be missed. He definitely brings entertainment. And that's, you know, I think that's the biggest compliment I can pay him, is that he is a fun person to be around, and he's a fun guy on air. And certainly hope that he still comes around the racetrack. I don't know what his plans are when he does, you know, officially walk off into retirement, but I hope the racetrack is still involved in those somehow.
Something tells me he might make some appearances every now and then. I just don't see him staying away.
It's just not possible. You can't stay away from it.
Regan, enjoy Kansas this weekend. I know we'll enjoy your work in the pits and on Race Hub as well, but it should be fun under the lights, first night race of the year.
Looking forward to it. It'll be going second night race of the year. We had one at Richmond a couple weeks
ago. That's right, Richmond.
But nonetheless, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun this weekend.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Regan Smith, Fox NASCAR, still drives a little bit as well. Appreciate him taking the time to come on with us and hit a variety of different things going on in NASCAR and in the Cup Series and abroad. When we come back, you'll hear from Ryan Newman, driver of the number 6 Roush Fenway Racing Ford. He will join the show next on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Pleased to be joined by Roush Fenway Racing's Ryan Newman. Ryan, how's it going, my man?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Doing well. I know Kansas this weekend, under the lights, it's always fun to go to that place, but I feel like you guys are probably being asked the same question every week with this new rules package of what you can expect going to different tracks. We saw some fun racing over the past 2 weeks, but what do you expect in Kansas Saturday night?
I'm not really sure. One thing I will say is the racetrack is very conducive to being able to get 2, 3, and 4 wide through the corners. So I think that's going to come into play as far as racing in a bigger pack. You know, we were really challenged last weekend in Dover to be able to get around and pass a car. It was just, you know, kind of a narrower racetrack, more so one groove, and just kind of we're stuck behind each other. So really look forward to the opportunity to get fanned out and race a little bit harder and you know, put on a better show for the fans, in my opinion, at a track like Kansas.
We've seen some teams, you know, like earlier in the year, whether it was Gibbs or Penske, that it seemed a little easier for them with this new rules package, and then other teams have had to figure it all out. What has the transition been like for you? Because not only was it a different rules package, but you went to a completely different race team.
Yeah, there's so many things that are new for me that I feel like I'm more of a rookie than I was my rookie year, and I really am. You know, I come into a new organization with a new car, new manufacturer, new rules package. So many things are new. I mean, I feel like I'm more of a rookie than I was in 2002 when I raced my rookie season. So I you know, really have had a lot to learn. And they say old dogs can't learn new tricks, but I feel like I can just kind of adapt to the things that I used to do, and you know, bring some of my experiences over that you know, maybe some of the guys don't have on the team, and try to make a difference.
I talked to your teammate Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Probably a month or so ago, and he brought you up and said that, you know, one thing that has kind of helped us this year is what you just said, being able to lean on Ryan and his success and his experience, because we know that Roush Fenway has been trying to get back to where they were over the last few years, and we're seeing you guys trend in the right direction. But, you know, what does it mean to hear something like that, that, you know, you're a guy that can mentor a guy like Ricky Stenhouse and help bring that experience?
Well, I think it's all teamwork. I mean, no different than me working with my crew chief, Scott Graves, or working with Ricky's crew chief, Brian Patty. You know, it's just about having trust and confidence in each other and being able to make a difference and believing what somebody's saying and knowing that it's right, knowing that it's the truth. And that's really what it's all about. So it's cool to hear Ricky say that, but at the same time, I feel the same way about him. You know, he's got a lot of experience in open wheel racing, stock cars, you know, won some Xfinity championships. So I know he knows how to get it done, and I look at him the same way he looks at me.
Is part of the fun of switching teams, of, you know, being able to meet new sponsors and new people, and obviously you mentioned your crew chief and your team, does that kind of, not that you necessarily needed to be reignited, but does that add something extra to it when you go to a new place?
Well, I just wanted to, you know, perform at a higher level. I felt like I was in a good position, but that good position wasn't good enough to be able to win, to be able to be successful like I had been in my past. So wanted to make a change. And knew it was going to be a challenge, and I feel like we've made a lot of progression in the first 10 weeks, basically, of a new relationship and a new season.
I know that you worked with Ford way back when you started your career with Penske, and you have a relationship with them, but to see the support that they are giving you guys this year has been, just from a fan's point of view, fun to watch. The Mustang and all the research that they put into that, but you know, being back with Ford, what has that relationship been like?
Well, lots of good people, lots of effort. Obviously, a lot of money gets spent in development and making a good Ford Mustang, and one that's competitive. And we saw that it was, because it won, you know, I think right out of the box there, not necessarily at Daytona, but just, you know, overall, they've got it going on, not just from a car standpoint, but a Roush Yates engine standpoint, which is what all the Ford engines are. They've done their homework and are, you know, showing us why, when we're racing against them, we want to beat them, because they're one of the best.
Ryan Newman here on the line with us, and wanted to get your thoughts as a veteran driver. NASCAR, I guess a few months ago, announced the new schedule in 2020. It's going to look a lot different than it has in the past, and I know many of the drivers were hoping for that, hoping for some change just to kind of shake things up. What were your thoughts, and what do you kind of see happening beyond 2020 when they maybe make some more changes?
I don't think it looks a lot different. I think that's a stretch. I think it is definitely different, but far from a lot different. You know, we're really still hitting all the same racetracks. I don't know if there's any new markets on that schedule, but, you know, I can't wait for the day, and it'd probably be past my NASCAR career of having some midweek races and, you know, having some one-day shows and being able to get to some different markets that we've never got to. And there's NASCAR fans all across the world. And there's different NASCAR fans across the United States that never get a chance to geographically come. It just doesn't make sense. So I feel like there's an opportunity to create a lot of newness, a lot of freshness in our sport, to mix it up and go to different racetracks. And it doesn't have to be pavement. It can be dirt. The sport started on dirt, and it can continue back to dirt. We've proven that with the Truck Series. So there's a lot of things, I think, that could and should be changed. But you got to get past a lot of people's egos and financials to do so.
Did you ever race at the fairgrounds in Nashville? That's obviously, you know, where we are, and we'd love to see cup racing back there. Did you ever race there?
No, I've been there and watched a Busch race back in probably like 2000, 2001, something like that. And it is a great racetrack. Lots of character, good banking. Looks like it's a lot of fun to drive. So I know that there's some potential plans for it in the future. But, we've done the same thing for so long at so many racetracks that we need some newness. We need some freshness and, kind of get back to some of the roots that we've maybe have forgotten.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see. And also, just you'll appreciate this, World of Outlaws is actually coming here in a few weeks. They're going to put dirt on the fairgrounds. So I think I'm going out for that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that'll be good. I didn't know that one.
Yeah, it's coming here in a few weeks. So we'll see how that turns out. Maybe they'll just leave the dirt.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate the time. Best of luck this weekend at Kansas, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thank you.
Ryan Newman, driver of the number 6 Roush Fenway Racing Ford. Appreciate him for taking the time to join us. When we come back, we'll get you set for Kansas and look at some other storylines going on in NASCAR here on Chasing Checkers on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. I am Chase McCabe. Wrapping things up, appreciate Ryan Newman for joining us here on the show. Kansas coming up Saturday night as they race under the lights. The second night race of the year. It should be interesting because a lot of people were looking at this race as, okay, this is going to be when we have an idea of what this rules package was going to look like. And, you know, as we talked with Regan Smith about, we talked earlier in the show, some of the drivers have been frustrated with it and feel like NASCAR is not listening. I think they are. I think they're tweaking as they go. And I thought it was funny because that was actually brought up in pre-race press conferences with Martin Truex Jr., last week's winner. He was asked about, you know, the frustrations with this rules package.
You know, the balance at the end of the day is we got a job to do. We go out and do it. You know, like you mentioned, it seems like we only hear about it when it's somebody that's really frustrated. You know, like I could come in here right now and start complaining because I'm really frustrated. We had a bad practice. At the end of the day, it is what it is. And, you know, until something changes, we got to deal with it. And, you know, if it never changes, we really got to deal with it. So we got a job to do, and I try to focus on that more than anything. We can talk behind closed doors about it as a team and as, you know, drivers together inside of a team or this and that, but, you know, it is what it is, and they're not going to change it on my account, so just try to do the best job I can with it.
You heard Regan Smith say earlier, just to that same effect, they're not going to change it. Not this year. Maybe not even next year. So it's something that the drivers need to adapt to. And that's my thing. I want to see them embrace this, just be like, okay, this is the rules package and do what they've done in the past and just figure out how to make it work. Kyle Busch was frustrated, but guess what? He's got 3 wins and he's finishing the top 10, 11 straight. He's having a good season. So I think it's one of those things that, yeah, you can be frustrated about it. Of course. I mean, NASCAR needs to listen to the drivers. They listen to the fans. They need to continue to tweak this and make it better. But at the end of the day, they're just trying to do their best to make the racing the best that it can be. Now, as for Kansas this weekend, it could be unique for Martin Truex Jr. because since they raced at Dover on Monday and now they're racing Saturday night, he has the potential to win 2 races in 5 days. And he commented on that.
That would be awesome. I mean, you know, I think to be able to win here with this package would be, you know, something good for us. We really haven't been stellar with it yet. We did run second in Atlanta and thought we had the best car at the end of the race, but, you know, that's a lot different than here and, you know, Vegas and some of the other places. So it'd be a big boost for our team, I think, you know, to figure this package out. We had a little bit of a rough day today, but excited about, you know, racing here at Kansas. And it's been good to us. So hopefully we can get it dialed in, get some things figured out, you know, this afternoon, tonight, and have a good run tomorrow evening.
That was Martin Truex Jr. after the first practice at Kansas and trying to figure all that stuff out. You know, the thing that I think is what could be frustrating the drivers the most is it's been a very long time that they've had a setup and a rules package where they have to just figure some stuff out as they go. And that's exciting for a fan, but I'm sure it's scary and frustrating for a driver. So, but Truex is another one that Joe Gibbs Racing has a good handle on things. And, you know, while there might be some things that he's not used to, you can tell that they're figuring it out and it's working for him because they have two wins on the year and, you know, in close proximity with Richmond just a few weeks ago as well. History could be made Saturday night at Kansas as Kyle Busch eyes the consecutive top 10 record. He spoke to NASCAR.com about what that would mean.
No, you never look at any of those. Like the record of top 10s for starting a season that we've been on wasn't really made to my attention until the eighth or ninth race. And so then we hit 10, and now we hit 11, you know, so hopefully we can keep it going, obviously, and set a new record. But, you know, somebody brought up the other day, they were like, you know, I don't remember how many I had before the season ended last year, but we won Phoenix. We finished fourth at Homestead, so back up from there. I mean, we've been on, we've had maybe 15 top 10s in a row, but to start a season, you know, we're on 11. That's just pretty cool.
And it just adds to the legacy of Kyle Busch and how good that guy really is to continue to break these records. We all know about, you know, 200 wins across the three national series and what that has done for his career, but now this top 10 streak that he's probably going to make or probably going to get because he's pretty good at Kansas. Again, different rules package that he doesn't like, but I still think he's pretty good there, and he's probably going to go ahead and break the top 10 streak. So that's something that everyone is going to be paying attention to. Can he continue the success with Joe Gibbs? As we talked about earlier in the show, they've had 7 wins already, 3 for Kyle Busch and then 2 for Truex and 2 for Denny Hamlin. Eric Jones wants to get in on the party, but Joe Gibbs and that team, his organization, they have figured out this rules package so far. But another team that's starting to figure things out, as we discussed with Regan Smith, is Hendrick Motorsports, most notably Chase Elliott. He's been getting it done. He was asked about not only his success, but that of teammate Alex Bowman and the rest of Hendrick.
Yeah, no, I mean, as a company, I mean, that's good, right? I mean, you want to, if we're all running better, we're all increasing the health of Hendrick Motorsports, which is, you know, at the end of the day, I'd say a good thing. And we're also pushing each other to do a better job. So yeah, I think it's good.
Well, and what's interesting is you have Chase Elliott that's leading the way. He already has a win. I would say Alex Bowman is right behind him. And then I'd probably put William Byron as the third guy, because he's had, you know, up and down season, but he's showing that he's starting to gel with Chad Knaus, and then Jimmy Johnson. And Jimmy Johnson just continues to not be the Jimmy Johnson of old. I mean, you look at the standings right now, Jimmy Johnson is, let's see, all the way, see, this is, he's 17th. Very unlike Jimmy Johnson to be down there. But getting back on Chase Elliott, what he's doing, already got a win under the belt, and I think that has been important to his success. And he told reporters when he addressed them at a pre-race press conference that he's just trying to remain dynamic, trying to learn this rules package as they go to different tracks.
Just to continue to be dynamic, because, you know, everything is just changing and evolving, and every time something changes, it takes a lot of effort to figure out what's the best thing for that change, and that, you know, when something does change, it offers opportunity to either catch up or get behind. So just making sure you're able to make changes and do them quick, because this deal is, you know, the rules have changed rapidly.
They have, and they've changed the whole dynamic of the sport. And I think that Chase Elliott is one of those guys that had to be patient early on. His team had to be patient, mainly because they had moved some guys around. They had moved some, you know, personnel to try and figure, you know, let's you know, put Chad Knaus over here. Let's give Jimmy Johnson a fresh start with Mandarin. So I think that it took them a while to try and get all their ducks in a row. And now Chase Elliott is starting to have the success. So, and Alex Bowman is right there behind him. So, that I think has been big for Hendrick Motorsports. It's been big for NASCAR for Chase Elliott to be successful. And it seems like he was asked, is he enjoying it more now that he's starting to see success?
I don't really feel like I've changed a whole lot from that perspective. I think it's always nice to do good, or get a victory or whatever that makes, running well or getting a win, however that comes about is, it's probably a good thing. So, I don't really feel like I've changed a whole lot. I've always tried to enjoy it. So, yeah, I don't know. Good question.
You can tell that there's something different because he used to be really hard on himself when he wasn't, when he would make a mistake and something like that cost the team a win. Now he's letting it roll off. He's grown up. He's matured. And you're starting to see more and more success. So Chase Elliott, it's what NASCAR needed. It's what Team Hendrick needed because, even though Regan Smith earlier was like, we don't know what this is going to look like when it's all said and done, I think it's looking pretty good so far. That is going to do it for Chasing Checkers for this week. I am Chase McCabe. If you miss any of the show's past episodes, just go to thegamenashville.com, click on the Pod Center tab, find Chasing Checkers, or you can download it on iTunes. It's all from Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.